Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. And now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, JB and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is James Jordan, and this is the show dedicated to old man gaming. It's Gaming Uncensored, and Tommy sitting over there. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. We are definitely old man gaming.
I say that because we got a lot of old man discussion yes. happening this week.
Yeah, so. We do. If you're a youngin', this may not be the episode for you. Apologies on the front end here.
You gotta have a little spare cash for this episode.
Yes.
So, and of course, you have the yearly funk. We've been on the air 2 minutes. I'm sure you can hear. He's got the funk going on. I've avoided it so far, which means it's coming.
Yeah.
It'll be here the next show.
It's been a gnarly week. It's anytime you get sick right now, it's a little bit, get you on edge a bit. It almost certainly is a cold. I had a COVID test last week, actually, because I had to get one to go back to work. The sexy sidekick had one this week. We were both negative. And so I got a cold right after I tested negative and while she had tested negative. And so that gives me a good idea that it's not COVID. But whatever it is, I'm almost over it, which is good. But the past week has sucked. I've just been sick. So anytime I laugh, I'm going to end up coughing. Just giving you a warning there. Just be prepared.
That's normal on this show. That's kind of what we do.
I've got a cough drop in my mouth. And so if you hear that moving around or whatever, I've got tissues nearby. So I'll probably be blowing the nose during the... We talked about last week, being careful with queso and soup and that kind of stuff with the beard, right? So I got an update to things you got to watch out for with the mustache. Now, when you get a cold, the snot in the mustache is a beast. It's just, that's a tough thing, man. Because it's like that queso, right? Like the queso just kind of hangs out there. And you got to scrub at it. You get that thick snot and it's the same thing right here. So if at any point during the show for Patreon folks, if you're watching the video of the show, if you see globby stuff here under my nose, you know what happened.
Okay, so since we're talking about this, really interesting that you bring this up. But ever since we had that discussion, I have realized that it's really hard to clean the beard. It takes some effort to clean the beard if you get stuff in there.
Yep.
You can't just throw some water on it and get the stuff. I mean, you actually have to scrub to get whatever you got in there out. So that's been interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a new way to live because it's before you leave the house, you triple check.
Oh, yeah.
To make sure because, once you're out, that's it. You're done.
Yep. Yeah. 100%. I kid you not, this is just my habit now. Anytime before I get out of the car, before I open the door, I flip down the visor, look in the rearview mirror, and just do this thing real quick. Yep, good. Nothing in there, right? You just gotta check. Make sure there's not crumbs or small animals hiding or whatever. Just making sure.
It's something you really gotta work on. And I never thought I would have the issue. I really didn't. But people keep asking me, and I'm getting tired of it. When are you going to shave the thing? And of course, Valentine's Day is coming up. And I have been invited to do some stand-up for a Valentine's Day banquet for a friend of mine that has known me longer than you have, if you can believe that. And has never seen me with anything approaching this.
Yeah.
So I'm debating on whether to shave it or not. Because, A, I'm going to be working in, like, a Baptist church.
Yeah.
So I kind of need to be sort of kind of respectable.
Yeah.
But the idea of the look on that guy's face when he sees this is going to outdo all of that. So I think it's leaving.
Yeah.
I think it's staying. The other thing is that if I were to shave it, I would have to have like 6 hours of buffer. Because I'm pretty sure when I shave it, I'm going to like bleed to death.
Yep.
You know?
For sure.
It's going to be one of those things.
Yeah, so. You know something that's great? I haven't cut myself shaving in decades. It's wonderful.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm paranoid about. Because getting this off is not going to be an easy thing. Like, yep. It's not... It's not designed to come off.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I haven't thought about this till right now. The 20th anniversary of the last time I was clean shaven is coming up in May, which is, it corresponds with the 20th anniversary of my high school graduation. That was the last time I was clean shaven. Last time I took a razor blade to my entire face was the day I graduated high school, which was almost 20 years ago. So, yeah.
Two things I love about that. A, that you have that date written down. And you know when that is. I love that. And B, I've seen you clean shaven, and it's a weird look.
It is a weird look.
We both have the same issue. If Tommy does not have hair, and if I don't have, you've seen me recently without the beard. We both look much younger without the facial hair.
I mean, you would think.
Like, childishly younger. We're similar in that way because I've seen you. It's like, dude, that's not right. So, yeah. I can't imagine that. I know where you graduated from high school, so I can understand why you might have had to have done that for graduation.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's a good thing to keep on the calendar there. That's
be a little celebration step.
Yeah.
So that's been your weekly or so edition of Beards Uncensored. Yeah. we should probably talk about games a little bit. So really quick on the show today, we're going to, I just love this. We're going to talk about GameStop and all the craziness with that. It really right. has basically nothing to do with gaming, but it's such a fun story to talk about. We'll spend right some time here. On that.
This is exactly why it's the old man game show, because this focuses on something that both of us have sort of kind of started to play around with, and it's something that you have to play around with when you're old, because yeah. you got retirement and various other things. I know you got that going on
sure.
where you work, and so it's a very old man yeah. issue to have. So we're going to have a lot of fun.
It's either going to be hilarious or it's going to be the most boring thing we've ever talked about on the show. But either way, we're going
to
have fun.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. We're like so pumped to talk about this. So we'll talk about that quite a bit. We've also got Resident Evil news, a big Resident Evil announcements and stuff happened the past week. More Cyberpunk, of course, just briefly, just more great ridiculousness from Cyberpunk. If we have time, some news from Microsoft, some games upcoming. I'll mention it right here because we probably won't have a ton of time at the end of the show. Hitman 3 is out and apparently really good. Of big releases of note, there haven't been a lot for the past, you know, several weeks. Hitman 3 is fairly significant and is 80-something, 7 or whatever on Metacritic, which is solid, and people really dig in that game. I haven't played Hitman in a long time. And have kind of jonesed for it a little bit, you know, like those original games were really fun. So I'm really pumped. I don't know when I'm going to get time for it, but I'm really pumped to get time for Hitman 3 at some point.
Hitman is a good use, I would think, for our new favorite toy between the two of us, and that is GeForce Now.
Yeah.
We talked about it. You talked about it on the previous show, and I freaked out. And I can say I've only spent 4 or 5 hours with it. I haven't spent that much time. But, folks, I don't know how long the price is going to be the price that it is right now. And even if the price goes up, I will tell you, if you have $50 or $75, whatever it's going to be when you get around to looking at this, it's worth your money to try this. I'm on a much slower internet connection. And I the funny thing to me, it's funny to me that this is the thing that I notice because we're audio people, but the only way that I can tell that it's ever having issues is audio. I never drop a frame. I don't have, there's no latency. Like when I hit a button to jump or whatever, the jump happens. And so the only time that I ever noticed that there might be some issues, it's with audio. That being said, they are very, very, very few, and I have a very slow internet connection. So that's a really good service.
Yeah, that's pretty phenomenal. I'm so glad that it works well on your end. That's not only great because I like that it works for you, because I want you to be able to experience it too, but it's also great that it shows the technology is getting to the point where not the gigabit connection is required for that kind of streaming entertainment, that you could get away with it on a much more non-urban internet connection, right?
Right.
If you're in a big city, you could probably get a pretty fast internet connection. If it's not a gigabit connection, you can get a couple hundred megs or whatever.
Yeah.
But being somewhere where that's not possible and still getting good performance on it, even if not perfect, it's pretty impressive. I have not ever had a message pop up about connection issues or whatever. And to be fair, I shouldn't. But right. Again, it's a testament to the service that it works that well.
It does. And the thing that is nutty about it, and I think this is really going to come in handy for those of us. It comes in handy for me because I can't really upgrade stuff the way that I want to because my hands don't work. But I will tell you, a couple of hours of me playing with the service was me playing with old stuff. I fired up Half-Life 2, which is awful. By the way, don't play Half-Life 2 on GeForce Now because it's horrible. It's just Half-Life 2 is so old at this point that it's like I can't believe I'm saying this, but I can't play this. I also fired up The Witcher, which is not currently installed. The I never really thought of this as being useful, but the idea that you can have a game in your library that is not installed, you don't really have to do anything. It's just there. That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Like if you just get a hankering to like pick up a game, right?
Yeah.
That like you have, but you don't have it installed. You don't have to be like, oh man, I got to wait for 4 hours. I don't even know if I'm going to want to play it in 4 hours, you know, like just fire it up and go. The one obvious downside with so many games I play on PC, you know, is that you're not going to have mod support,
right?
At least at this point. I don't know if that's something they could factor in somewhere, but I doubt it. You know, like there's a whole lot of other considerations around that, unless they make some special, you know, agreement with the company to do that. It's that would be on a very small scale, you would think. So that's the one thing as like I'm looking at Cyberpunk mods, pop it up, you know, at this point, one of the stories this week, but I'm going to mention it in the show, so I'll mention it here, is the modding tools for Cyberpunk. There's a big new modding tool out to encourage more modding for Cyberpunk, and they got rid of a mod where you can have sex with Keanu Reeves, which didn't make it into show notes for whatever reason. Makes sense. That said, that's one of the places where I'm looking at, you know, my system going, man, if I want to play it with some mods, I'm going to have to play it on that lesser graphic, you know, ability of my system. And so,
well,
we'll see what happens. But it's
like what we said when we started. I have said, and you've said, and I think you kind of are trying to get around it, because obviously we're getting older and it's stupid for two men in our 40s at this point to be spending money. But I said, we're going to need to upgrade again. And we are. We're going to have a new box sooner than later. Whether or not this service is fabulous or whatever, we just need a new box, and there's no justification for it other than this is our hobby.
Yeah.
It's stupid. I'm looking at the money going, it's really dumb, but I'm like you. Cyberpunk's going to be great with some mods, and I will tell you this, the modding community will fix the issues with Cyberpunk before CD Projekt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I went on just today because I was curious after seeing that story, just to look on like Nexus mods of what's available, you know, and just a quick like skim. And it is, you know, it's like UI stuff. It's like, here's a better UI, or here's better driving mechanics, which is one of those things that, you know, struggles in not just Cyberpunk. And Grand Theft Auto has its own issues with driving. I'm sure there's mods for that out there too, or whatever. But yeah, those are the kind of things, those kind of ease of life mods that are so nice that then you'll get spoiled by them, and it'll be hard to go back to the vanilla version of Cyberpunk, even if it looks prettier. And that's, you know, like when I think of like vanilla Skyrim, the first thing that pops into my mind is, oh, it's so hideous, you know, like, right. Just, it's a 2011 game in 2021 sensibility. Like, I just want it to look prettier with the mods, you know.
Right.
For me, Cyberpunk's going to be the opposite. Like, Cyberpunk's going to be, oh, the vanilla version to me is really pretty because that's the version I could play on GeForce Now. But right. All the other things that I want of the modded version are going to be, you know, the thing that brings me back to whatever. Who knows? I'm sure I'm just going to end up jumping back and forth between the services, because that's what else is brilliant about GeForce Now, is it's just synced to your Steam library. So it's all your saves. Like, you don't have to press a button to transfer saves or anything like that. It's just there. It's just,
I was looking,
it's the most genius service.
I was looking in Steam, and the clocks are accurate. Like, yeah. It popped up on my thing that I had played The Witcher for 20 minutes, and The Witcher's not currently installed. But it's like, you put 20 minutes in this game in the last 2 weeks. I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah,
it just, well, because you could play on your brand new laptop that you're recording a show on that would have no chance. Like, you can play anywhere.
Yep.
And it just works.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally, like, while you were saying that, I was Googling, oh, yeah, I need to get the software on my Mac, because I've got this beautiful new screen, this bigger, you know, I have a 16-inch MacBook now that's got this great high-resolution screen.
With
Cyberpunk's going to look really good on that.
By the way, yeah.
So.
You got, yeah, I mean, there's a good reason to use that.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely. And it's going to be gorgeous. And I just fired up, you know, like that's the best screen I have in my house right now. So my laptop is the highest resolution screen I have. So I might as well put Cyberpunk on it.
Did we say, ladies and gentlemen, this was going to be the old man show? Because it really is. I have been, here's the thing about GeForce Now, and then we'll move on. But GeForce Now has me debating upgrading my screen before I upgrade anything else.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. Yep.
Because when you're using GeForce Now, that's your bottleneck. You have no other bottleneck except the internet and the screen.
Yep.
And so I'm looking at it going, okay, this would be really cool to have a much nicer screen to play this on. And I, like, up until this point, the screen was the last thing that you and I really consider. But now it's like, okay, I could go spend a few $100 on a screen if this is going to work this well.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's you're absolutely right. That's the exact same thing for me. I've looked at screens, you know, the past couple of weeks, because that's the, like, I was thinking I need a new processor, because I do, but
yeah.
Now I just want a new screen because I want to see pretty 4K, you know,
yeah. Like,
or even if it's 2K resolution, but you know, a higher refresh rate and everything else. Like, I don't care. I just wanted something prettier than my 10-year-old monitor that I'm playing on, you know, like let's amp this thing up and then see where we're at a year from now, start upgrading other stuff. But yeah, the screen is now my priority.
Okay. So since before we get off this, can we talk about Control real quick, because
yep.
I put a couple hours into Control. I gotta say, I'm shocked, because Duff told me not to hurry on Control because he was like, you're gonna have a hard time with it. You gotta move. There's a lot of using the keyboard. You're gonna struggle. And he was right. I did. However, Remedy did the coolest thing that I hope every single developer picks up from this point on. They have accessibility options. And you say, well, other games have got accessibility options, right? And I'd be like, yeah, but not like these. Let me give you an example. First of all, I can control how much the health drops are worth. I can control what the damage modifier is, meaning that if I'm getting destroyed, I can just make the trick tougher. There's actually a checkbox to make yourself immortal. There's several other things that it's just like, hey, you're disabled, you're playing games, or you're just having a hard time. Adjust this stuff. We don't care.
Yeah.
And I love Remedy, because Remedy is Max Payne. I've always loved Max Payne. Control feels like Max Payne. And then you throw this stuff in, and it makes me want to play it.
Yeah. And it's just a no-brainer to me. Like, why not? Like, so many games that we grew up with, like, you could obviously go enable God mode, right? Which is the same thing. But you had to go, like, either through a console to do it or have some, you know, cheat code to put it or whatever. Just make it a checkbox. Like, whatever. Yeah. Like, what are you messing up for anybody playing a game? If they want to play a God mode, they could go Google it and figure it out. If it's in a console, just make it a checkbox. Like, save me some time.
What I love about this is they didn't go straight to God mode. They were like, here's all of these things
yes.
that you can adjust to your liking. So if you don't want to be invincible, but you just want a little more health to work with, then adjust it.
Yeah.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And because of the way that they have set that up, I will play all the way through Control on GeForce Now. I have no desire to put it on my system because ray tracing is wow.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen Control at all, but it is highly destructible. I mean, papers and books and crap flying everywhere. Yeah. It's fantastic. I will play all the way through it because they gave me these options.
Yeah, 100%. I'll mention just another game really quick that did a really good job with that. It's The Last of Us 2. I don't know if you ever saw the accessibility menu stuff. I played with it at one point. I just don't remember if I was screen sharing when I did. But it has like options of like you could keep like enemies from flanking you. which isn't something that you really think about until you need that control, you know? And it's just like, oh yeah, I could see how that's really useful. Or that you could make yourself completely silent when you're in stealth mode, as opposed to more silent, you know? Like you could just like, those are things that just make a lot of sense from an accessibility standpoint that will open up games to people that otherwise probably wouldn't touch those games. It's just, just genius. It's a trend that I imagine will continue. I can't see it going away, and I'm very happy it's going.
I'm glad Remedy did this, and I hope they don't go back. I hope Max 4 has all of this, because I still have Max 3 on my system, and I haven't finished it, only because these things don't exist. And if you have these options, here's the thing about these options. Remedy does what a lot of people do. It happens in Horizon. It happens in lots of other games where they say, we're not going to give you the ability to save wherever you want. You got to get to these checkpoints. We're not going to give you another option. Control is that same way. You got to get to checkpoints to save. But with these options, I don't care. Because if I get to a point that's really, really hard, I just adjust it and I don't have to die 50,000 times. Yeah. And one thing I don't know that they're thinking about, but we just need to make clear. I'm not going to speak for you. I don't want games to be easy. I'm not really going to touch that immortality checkbox unless there's just no other way to do it, because I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in an easy game.
Yes.
But I don't want to spend 4 hours dying either.
And the genius of these accessibility things is it's not just a static setting. You know, obviously, you could go put a game on easy. You could go put a game on medium or whatever. Or you could really just go customize the thing that is providing the issue. So if you're perfectly fine with everything challenge about the game except for one specific thing, then you could go fix that one specific thing and still have the game playing like you want it to play, as opposed to feeling like you're playing like the story mode, you know?
I hate the story mode.
I don't want that, but I also don't want it to eat my lunch. And so, there's a way around that. So all that said, you will be hearing more about all these things, GeForce Now and Control and so much more. But right now, we got to talk about game stuff. And so I want to make sure we have enough time to talk about game stuff. So really quick, just to get caught up on what's happened really this past week, kind of building up a week or so before that, but really what came to fruition this week and made the whole world news, not just the gaming world news. So GameStop, as you may know, is a retailer of video games and equipment, all that stuff. That kind of sucks, right? Just not great.
Yeah.
I don't think either one of us are big on GameStop. Neither one of us.
We used to be.
It used to be better, right?
Yeah.
But like digital distribution has obviously screwed GameSpot. It's not a model built off digital distribution. And they can't really do anything about that. They can't get into digital distribution, really. Like they could, but why? Like if I could just buy something off the PlayStation store, why am I going to go to GameSpot or GameStop to do it? That's dumb. You know, I said, they can't really do that. They've always sucked at trade-ins, you know, they just don't give you anything for a trade. Like just whatever. It's a gaming or it's a retail model that was kind of dying. Is dying. It's not saved now by any means. Like it's still dying, even though everything we're about to say. And so what that means in the world of investment is a bunch of hedge fund guys saw this business that doesn't seem to have a big future, that's publicly traded. And so you could go buy stocks at GameStop. In fact, you can kind of right now, depending on what app you're using. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. But you can go buy stocks as a publicly traded company. And so a lot of these hedge fund guys saw the fact that, you know, this company's probably going down. The value of the stock is going to be lower in the future than it is right now.
Let's get real old man with it and tell you exactly what they're doing. What they're doing, because I researched this before the show, is they're not actually trading the stock. They are trading stock options.
Yes.
And what they are doing specifically is selling puts. And basically what selling a put means is if you see a stock that is low and you don't feel like it's going to go up, you can tell the company of that stock, okay, I will sign a contract with you to buy 100 shares of this stock if and only if it goes up. If it doesn't go up, you have to give me money. Like, I'm signing this contract to buy this stock if it goes up, but if it doesn't, you have to give me money, whatever the stock price is. It's normally that times 100 shares. So that's how those guys were making money.
Yeah, it's this whole process of short selling that was a big part of what led to the 2008 financial crisis.
Right.
And so what happened because of that, because there's this kind of history of screwing up the world economy with making a similar play that was on like mortgages and underselling mortgages that were going to go into foreclosure and all kinds of mess there we won't get into. But go watch The Big Short, which is a great movie that does a decent job kind of going through that. That's kind of what's happening here, but on a smaller scale. So obviously GameStop's not going to wreck the world economy, ideally. But right. It's kind of exposing a flaw in the system that could, honestly. So, like you said, all these guys are buying up these options, essentially, to short sell them, that they'll make money if the stock goes down. And so what happened is some dudes on Reddit, because that's where great things happen, right? It's on Reddit. Some dudes on Reddit saw these hedge fund guys short selling GameStop and said, hey, we could really stick it to them. By all of us kind of getting in together and retail traders, people who aren't hedge fund guys, but people who are doing, you know, day trading on apps like Robinhood, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit, could go and buy a whole bunch of GameStop stock, which will do a couple of things. It'll make the stock more valuable. And so theoretically, these day traders can make money off of it, though there's a good chance you're going to lose money off of it too. But it's also guaranteed going to stick it to these hedge fund guys, because as you said, they took this bet, and if the price goes up, they're on the hook for the fact that the price went up.
Okay, so each contract, like I said, is 100 shares. Okay, let's say, for example, like I looked at one this morning that I've been looking at that's $2.80. So if I buy one put, which is 100 shares, that's $280 that I will get if it doesn't go up. But if it goes up, I'm in for that money.
Right?
These guys, because they were hedge fund guys, they're doing like 10 or 12 or 15 contracts at a time. So do that number just for ease of use, times 10 or 12 or whatever, and if it goes up, they are out a lot of money.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened. So all these Redditors go in, and lots of other people. I mean, once the kind of momentum started going, other people jump into the bandwagon that aren't following on the subreddit. But like, people start buying GameStop stock, not because it's a successful business. And this is the whole thing where it's like, really, this is our system? We're just gaming it at this point. Like, GameStop didn't do anything in the past 2 weeks to deserve its stock going up nearly 2,000% at one point.
Right.
Like, just it was, nutso.
There was, when I was looking at it last week, there was one point last week that it was $450 a share.
Yeah.
From $5.
Yeah.
So if I had had 10 shares of that stock, which I got to be honest with you, I could have easily had. I could have spent $50, gotten 10 shares of that stock, and I would have made $4,500 last week.
Yeah. And a lot of people did. But the thing is, and this is where it gets really tricky, is that as soon as people start cashing out, obviously the stock's going to go back down because now people are selling it. So because the hedge fund guys had to go in and actually buy that stock, it goes up like it's called a short squeeze at that point, right? Where the short sellers get screwed over and have to go buy the stock, which pushes the stock price up more. That's where you got that really big peak. And then it starts falling off because now everybody's selling and there's not this kind of big artificial boost again until something kind of outside the what's considered the system, like this subreddit that apparently has tons of reach, starts pushing again. And so who knows at this point? The ultimate goal of these guys was to screw over some hedge fund guys, and that worked.
And they did.
Like, that happened. But a lot of those guys who bought in at some point with GameStop stock probably didn't get out before the price came back down, or probably bought at a point where it was artificially high. And so there's a lot of retail traders that are getting screwed over in the process too, which sucks. Like, there's that collateral damage too, if you're like just jumping on the bandwagon and don't know what you're doing and happen to jump in at the wrong time. It's kind of a mess. That doesn't have anything to do with gaming other than it shows that, like, essentially our whole financial system is just one big game that, like, if an internet community wants to go and screw with, they could go and screw with, right? That's what happens.
Let's be clear that these guys, and this is the point that I really want to get to, because this is a Jamie and Tommy discussion that nobody else really talking about. These guys didn't do anything that hedge fund people haven't been doing for years. People have gotten rich doing this thing. And where it got sketchy and where it made the news is that Robinhood and a couple of other apps at one point said, okay, you can't buy any more of this stock. You're done. And there are some people, maybe a lot of people out there that don't understand why that's a big deal. And the reason it's a big deal is because theoretically, the United States of America has a free market economy. And so when you tell, when you as Robinhood or you as some other app, TD Ameritrade or whatever, start telling people that they can't buy a stock and the only reason you're doing it is that the hedge fund people that you answer to are calling you saying, look, I'm getting screwed. You got to do something about this. That's a problem. And people are really upset. And I am not overly upset. And I'm going to tell you why. Because you and I learned a concept in school, which was basically laissez-faire. And that there's no such thing as a free lunch. Remember that in school?
Sure.
Basic economics, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Robinhood and several other of these apps are free. Okay, it doesn't cost you anything to get in. You don't have to do anything. There's no fee. There's no none of that. You just put it on your phone and you go. You don't pay commissions. You don't do any of that. And so all these people, and a lot of them are the Reddit guys, who are really, really frustrated about, hey, we're in free market economy and we're getting screwed here. Well, you kind of are, but you're not really, because you're on a free app that the guys that run the app are trying to make money. Like, they're just doing what's in their best interest.
Sure. There's definitely obviously some validity to that. But there's also, you know, like, retail traders could just go somewhere else too.
Right.
If they can find an app that's not going to lock them out, you know.
Yes.
That's also part of it. So people could be pissed and go to a different service than the Robin Hood or whatever app it is. It's a tricky thing. I don't have a good answer for it because Robin Hood, their business model is built on controlling volatility. Right. And so whenever there's something crazy volatile like this, remember, there's no reason that GameStop stock should be surging like in a free market system. Right. If we're not talking about like weird outside actors really acting in bad faith here, I'm going to say acting in bad faith, not in a negative, a pejorative way necessarily, but in a not Ooh, in the way the system
that's a
works.
Great word.
Yes.
That's a great word.
But like these guys are acting in bad faith to how the system is supposed to work theoretically. Like, yes, it's a free market system that doesn't build in a whole bunch of ways you could screw with it. And this is ways that you could screw with it. And so Robinhood is saying, this isn't just natural market cycle of GameStop making an announcement that they, have figured out some way to stay viable in this industry, that all of a sudden, like, they're putting out a console that's 4K and costs $200 or whatever that's going to be compatible. Whatever it would be, something that they could announce that would be a massive, massive boom to their position in the market. There's nothing like that to happen. It's just people screwing with the market. And so Robinhood doesn't thrive off of volatility like that of irrational changes in the market because that's going to crash. Like GameStop isn't going to stay a company that's valued at 400 whatever dollars a share.
It was $5 when we started.
Yeah. It's going to end up crashing at some point. And because of that, it really needs to be watched. It needs to be monitored. And Robinhood has some responsibility to do that, I think, but I don't know what it is. And I just like that's a place where I don't have a good answer. I can totally hear both sides of that argument.
Here's where it's getting sketchy, I think. And I've been waiting to talk about this with you for 2 weeks. And there's a little girl lurking around, so we probably don't have time. But
yeah, she's gone now. She'll be back in a little bit.
The reason that I think this is really getting to a lot of people at this point is, yes, this is a big deal, but it also goes along with the other stuff that we have going on in this country as far as free speech goes. And people getting kicked off Twitter and people getting kicked off Facebook. I think it's all kind of like in there together, whether that is logical or right or not. I think that's where some of this stuff is going on. And I've been wanting to talk to you about this because I want to know what you think about that.
Yeah. Well, first,
because I have issues, and so we can just sort of talk this out because I have a couple of things I want to bring up.
Sure. I mean, first of all, you don't have a free speech right to be on Twitter or Facebook.
No.
There's no constitutional provision to say that you must be allowed on any social media. In fact, quite the opposite. Twitter and Facebook theoretically have a constitutional right to do whatever they want with their business.
Yes.
But they've leveraged themselves in such a way that obviously gets challenging in a lot of ways that, again, there's not good answers for, which is kind of maybe the bigger issue here that kind of ties it all together is in a lot of ways, we've just gotten too big in some of the things we do to keep the system working the kind of idealized way, right? Like, social media or, day trading, either one, like obviously can be gamed to the benefit of those who know how to game it and wreak havoc on society. Like, on the social media thing, just really quickly, this is now going totally different directions, but whatever. Like, obviously the crazy kind of conspiracy theories that are able to catch hold because of Facebook that just never had a way to catch hold before, this crazy QAnon stuff, like that's all made because of Facebook, right? Like that has the ability to spread like wildfire because everybody obviously there's other places, but that's where people have access to social media to share those ideas to large groups of people that will buy into them. That's something that we didn't really planned for, right? That's like disruptive to society on a significant level.
Okay, so let's back up and do a Jamie and Tommy social lesson, because a lot of people get lost on what free speech actually means. Okay, when we talk about free speech, it doesn't mean that you can say whatever you want, whenever you want, at any point. It means free speech, constitutional wise, is talking about free speech against the government. Now, some of the people that have been taken off of these platforms were exercising their free speech right to speak against the government. Whether you agree with it or not, that's what they were doing. That's your constitutional right to speak against the government. It doesn't give you the right to talk about whatever you want, whenever you want. I think a lot of people lose that. They think, I live in the United States, I can just say whatever. No, and you can't.
Just one caveat to that, too. It also doesn't give you the right to say whatever you want against the government on whatever platform you want. You don't have a right to talk against the government on Twitter just because you're talking against the government. Like, the free speech is that the government's not going to shut you down for what you're saying.
Right.
On a personal level, but not anything to do with a company. I value free speech rights, obviously, and am more prone to support a company that is going to adhere to open speech than to support a company that doesn't. But I understand those limits too. I didn't shut down all my social media accounts on Facebook and Twitter because they're banning people, because I think there's some rationale for some bannings. I don't think all of them are right, but I think there's places where it makes sense.
So here's the thing. What people have to keep in mind, Facebook and Twitter are doing what they do for one very simple reason. They exist not to give you a platform to talk about what you want to talk about. They do not exist to give you a place to share your pictures. They do not exist to give you a place to share your videos. They exist to make money. That's, they're two companies who, that's why they're in existence, to make money. Whether it's Zuckerberg or Google or whoever it is, they said, we got this idea that people are going to love and they're going to use the crap out of it, and we're going to profit on it. Now my only issue with this is, I think they can do whatever they want, whatever they want, because they are in it to make money. They're not in it for you. They're not in it for me. If they decide to throw Gaming Uncensored off of any platform, whatever, because it's a free service we're not paying for. But the issue that I do have is, if you're going to do that, then we need to do something about your ability to be legally taken to court. Because if you're not going to allow people to say whatever, and you shouldn't as a company, then there needs to be, right now, they can't legally be sued or taken to court for any reason. And I'm not a big court guy, but they have freedoms that a whole lot of other companies do not have. And that is my own one and only issue. I'm the last guy that's going to sit here and tell you that Facebook and Twitter are screwing people over. I'm not that guy.
Yeah, I think you're way oversimplifying that point. They could be sued. Like, it's not like they have immunity from being sued. They could be sued. They have some different rights because they're not considered a publisher. Right. And so it gets murky in there for sure.
Right.
But ultimately, it comes down to who's responsible for what's on their platform. Are they responsible, or are the people who post the content responsible?
Right.
Right. Like, that's the trick. And so the idea that they can't get sued for what somebody posts on their platform is different than they have legal immunity from everything, right?
Right.
Like it's much more nuanced than that, obviously. But and if they were considered a publisher,
I oversimplify. That's what I do. But
the point is, if that was changed, that they were considered a publisher, then they would block way more content because their legal liability would go through the roof, right? And so it's really counterintuitive in a lot of ways to say, you know, that they should be treated more like publishers that have control over, which they do, and it's such a mess of a thing. But, you know, like, obviously, if Twitter was or Facebook was liable for every bit of craziness that gets posted on there that could lead to some crazy person doing something really violent, they would shut down everything really quickly, right? Like all of this QAnon stuff, again, just to go back to that, because that's kind of front of mind right now. Like they have shut down a lot of it because they saw, you know, issues with it for their bottom line, if not for public safety as well, but especially for their bottom line. But it took them a long time to kind of pull that trigger because there was obviously going to be a lot of pushback to it. If they could have been sued for billions of dollars for it earlier, they would have just shut it all down earlier, right? They just would have given it a platform in the first place, which may be a better thing in societal terms, right? Like, we may be better off if these conspiracy theories can't spread like wildfire that way.
Here's my thing about conspiracy theories and Q. I'm not watching all of this stuff. I find it entertaining. It's vastly entertaining to look at some of these sites and watch, and you take it all with a grain of salt and whatever. But my deal is if whatever happens, if you're listening to this and you're saying to yourself, well, I need a place to go where I can speak and my views can be heard, whatever they are, I will freely support your right as an American citizen to do that. I think there needs to be a space for people to talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about. Because I think that brings up free thought, and I'm with that, but that doesn't mean that it needs to be on Facebook or Twitter or insert your favorite social media platform here. Those people are in it to make money, period.
Yeah, and it's tricky when there's also real world consequences to that stuff, because we've seen violence come out of this, right? Like it's entertaining when it's like, oh, look at the crazy ideas. Like when I had a whole world of people around me that were flat earthers for a little while. I deal with college students all the time, and there was this big flat earth thing that went through the college student community, and it's just stupid and ridiculous, right? But there's all these Facebook pages and YouTube channels that are about flat earthers and why, you know, they are whatever.
Kyrie Irving, anybody?
Right. Yeah, like, in popular culture, it popped up and you know, like, yeah, that was kind of like funny and stupid. I'd poke fun at them or whatever, you know, like whatever. But like some of his people getting killed over this, like whenever like a significant group of people think that another group of people are satanic pedophiles, like that's not just like an argument over whether or not the earth is round. That's like, we need to get them out of society. And if you're wrong about that, which they pretty clearly are, like that has really big implications. And I don't know what to do about that, right? Because I agree with you. I want open thought. I want free communication. I want there to be a channel for people to go out and say the earth is flat and for me to say that's really dumb because it's not. Right. And there's tons of scientific evidence that says it's not. But that also comes with the potential that people say, hey, the ruling class or even Jamie and Tommy are satanic pedophiles and are dangerous to your children, and people show up outside our doors carrying guns. That's not something I want a platform for. No, you know, no.
Like, and let me just say this, okay? I the free thought thing to me, and I don't know how deep we want to go here because you have family that has to deal with this. But I don't want to go down the road that Taiwan is dealing with the CCP right now, or the China in general. You have family that lives in China, and you've been to China, and you can't say whatever you want. You can't do whatever you want. They have the right to shut down what you watch. They have the right to shut down anything that they want to. That's not something that I ever want to see here in any version of reality, and I don't think you do either. And that's why I think the free thought thing is huge deal, because like, what's going on over there is scary. And yeah. And it's not as scary as maybe we're being told, but you've been there. I know for a fact it's scary because your brother-in-law lives there. And we don't need to go there.
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
We don't need to that extent.
Yes.
If I'm making myself clear.
Absolutely. And to me, the key difference there is that that's the government of China doing that. Right. Yes. Now, our government's not doing that. Like, love or hate whatever our government is doing, our government is not the one that is deplatforming people right now.
That's correct.
And that's the key difference, right? Like, I'm perfectly fine if you are against Twitter or Facebook deplatforming anybody. I get that argument. Like I said, I'm really torn on this issue, just like with the Robin Hood thing. I don't know what the right answer there is. I could hear the arguments either way. But I would not be torn on the government coming in and saying, Twitter, you can't allow this group or this user or whatever on there. That's a different thing altogether, right?
Now, there are people out there that says, well, the current government that we have doesn't like, is liking this because it's helping them out. Of course they do. It's not that, that's a byproduct of if that's happening, if somebody is being censored, there's probably some people out there that are like, okay, yeah, I'm not really bent about that, but the United States government itself is not doing that.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And they can even, you know, people in government can say, we support the actions of this private company to do whatever. And that's well within, you know, still constitutional bounds, because it's, yes, a private company doing that. And it's tricky. I am somebody who supports more regulations on private businesses oftentimes because of you know, monopoly laws, you know, that kind of stuff, I think makes sense. In a true, fully free market system, you wouldn't have any kind of protections like that. You would just let whatever happen, and then you would end up, I think, with, you know, just big, whoever has the most money runs everything, right? Like, that's right, where the power center gets. There has to be a balance. There has to be a little bit of pushback at some point to say, we got to keep things at least somewhat fair, or else there's no society. Like, we don't have a system anymore that works. And we're talking about the byproducts of where some of, right, those things break down. But that needs to be done within a system that respects the constraints that we have, which for us are first and foremost in the Constitution. At this point, I mean, we do stuff against the Constitution all the time. Don't hear me say the government's never guilty of doing anything against the Constitution. That happens daily, all the time.
Yes.
All the time. And I can,
yes,
yeah, that's a whole different discussion. But in this particular case, I don't see anything here on either the social media side of things or the Robinhood and other trading apps types of things where there's some constitutional breach happening here, where the government is failing in it. You can dislike what the companies are doing, and by all means, like, go somewhere else. And if you think Parler or Gab or whatever is the place to go to do that, then fine. But every single one of my relatives who said, I'm done with Facebook, I'm going to Parler, was back on Facebook a week later. You know, like, there's a reason that Facebook is still the king and Parler isn't, or whatever.
Well, Parler's like, down, so that's part of the discussion is
Parler sure.
was on Amazon Web Services.
But this Amazon is before that. No, this was before all that stuff yeah. happened that I saw. This was right after the election where everybody was like, yeah, see you later. And then they're all back, you know, like, yeah. Of course you are, because everybody's on Facebook. That's where the market is. Like,
yeah.
So, welcome to capitalism, you know, yeah. like, that's how it works, man.
So, and the thing is that you can be frustrated about how these companies are doing things, how they handle your data. Like, I've been looking at how Facebook handles data, and we haven't really talked about election stuff. And we don't have time, but I will tell you that, you know, my position on politics most of the time. You know, I sort of kind of ignore it, and I'm not really paying attention. This year, I was you, okay? I watched everything. I'm still watching everything. I've been, like, enthralled by everything that's going on, if you can imagine that, after 15 years of, I don't really care.
Sure.
I'm not there anymore. I now care. And it all happened this year. So I think my thing is, and I think we agree, that our system has issues that need to be fixed. But I still think it's the best system out there.
Sure.
And in the last year, and this is so not a Jamie Jordan thing to say, but in the last year, I've become a huge constitutional guy. Like, I think the Constitution is the backbone of what we are. That's our framework, our baseline. I've become a huge constitutional guy and have paid more attention to that than I ever have before in my life. And these problems that we have are problems that somebody needs, or a group of people need, to try and figure out how to get around. But we still got the best system in the world out there.
Yeah, I agree. What is it? Churchill, whoever had the quote of the democracy is the worst form of government other than all the other forms of government, or whatever.
Yes.
I'm butchering that, but whatever that is. Yeah, I mean, I agree too. It's sure not without its problems, right? Like, we right. obviously have our own issues. This year has manifest many, many, many of them. It's still, yeah, overall, I would take our system over just about anybody. I'm not going to say that absolutely. I don't know. I would have to do a little bit of researching on some of these European systems that I might like a little bit better, honestly. Yeah. But overall, I think our system's pretty solid. I think it does good things, and we have done more for the world overall in the past 100 years than anybody else has, and I'm pretty darn proud of that. Yeah, it's a mess, and that was a fun place for that conversation to go. Let me super quickly just hit a couple other things because we do have a couple other things. We're yeah. basically out of time here. I do want to mention Resident Evil 8 stuff. What a turn there, man. I'm trying.
We warned you it was going to be the old man show. And for those of you that have wanted it, for those of you that have asked the question, and many people have asked over the last 15 years, could we do a political show? And the answer is yes. We're right. fully capable of doing a political show. And if we ever have time, that would probably be the next podcast that we did alongside this, for some sort of point. Because after this year, it fascinates both of us.
For sure.
And so, yeah, we could, if we wanted to, we could do that stuff all day.
That is what I'm talking about. As is Resident Evil 8. So really yes. quickly on Resident Evil, a few big things. First of all, we got a release date for Resident Evil 8. They did a big event of Resident Evil stuff. So the release date is May 7th. Believe it when we see it, kind of thing. I'm pretty skeptical.
I mean, it says at the end of the demo, thank you for checking out our showcase.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, okay.
So the other thing we got out of that was a demo. That was PlayStation 5 only. I think still is. It's supposed to be coming to other platforms at some point. But right now, still PlayStation 5 only. That's cool. Features some vampires and lots of blood wine, which seems to be at the heart of the story for this game. And so it's creepy and Resident Evil, but with like this medieval vibe to it. I don't know. It fascinates me. It is super bizarre all at the same time. I don't know what to think of it.
I told you before we started the show that 7 and this one, Resident Evil Village, are two games that we have to play together. I have no interest in playing either one of them solo.
Yeah.
That is a together Jamie and Tommy kind of a thing, because that's how we did it when we were younger, like in the same room with four other guys trying not to act like, you know, wusses.
Yeah.
So.
It still did. I mean, I remember falling over the back of a couch playing Resident Evil 2. It's a nice thought, but still there. They also announced, what is it called? Reverse, which is going to be a multiplayer battle game. I don't even know what to explain it as. Just a kind of deathmatch game with you can play whatever like Resident Evil characters you want, so you could be Jill Valentine like going around and trying to hunt down whoever, but the kind of hook is, or the twist is when you die you come back as a zombie and can go like chase down like the other people.
Ooh,
as a zombie,
that's fun.
Which makes a lot of sense. It's a free like game, free experience that you're getting when you buy Resident Evil Village, and so it's not like a big standalone title or whatever. Like when I first saw it, I was like, that's a really dumb idea. And then when I saw like, yeah, it's just a celebration of like 25th year of Resident Evil, whatever, that they're giving you with Resident Evil 8. Oh, okay, cool. Like you might play that for 20 minutes. It might be kind of stupid fun, but they're not like trying to make a thing of it. So I appreciate that. So lots of Resident Evil stuff coming. We'll see what happens if the game actually gets here when it's supposed to get here.
I'm looking forward to it. I have no idea what it's going to be. I have no idea like, if it's going to be fun.
Right.
The demo seems a little slow, although the demo for 7 was slow.
Like, yes.
These are not fast-moving games.
No.
I immediately thought of like a Myst type thing. It's very Myst.
And to me, that's really what, that's kind of what I think of like with the early Resident Evils and not the kind of mid-year Resident Evils. And I'm by no means a Resident Evil expert. Whatever. But to me, like the more kind of puzzle based aspect of Resident Evil is what's more appealing to me. And so I feel like that was shown here more as opposed to run and gun Resident Evil, which, whatever. But I like the puzzle stuff. I like the kind of horror puzzle thing as a genre. And so I kind of want to see it happen.
Absolutely.
Really quick Cyberpunk news, because we got to. Cyberpunk 1.11 hotfix is out. You ask, why is the 1.11 hotfix out? Well, that's because they put out the 1.1 patch to fix a whole bunch of things that introduced a whole new game-breaking bug. Which I just... Cyberpunk, I love you guys, but man, have y'all like made a mess of this thing.
Okay, so how much rope does CD Projekt get before this becomes a problem?
I mean, it already became a problem, right? And it again, here to show you how like ridiculous stock market stuff is, like, already was a problem. Like CD Projekt's stock tanked, investors were upset, everything else, which still isn't like, that's not fixed by any means. That's years and years and years. But they did get a rebound this week too, because Elon Musk said that you could play The Witcher in the new Tesla S Plaid, and that Cyberpunk will work on it too. And at some point, that if you want to sit in your car and play Cyberpunk on the little touchscreen, not little touchscreen, giant touchscreen in your car, you can. And that like gave CD Projekt Red a boost.
Okay, so we got to talk about Elon Musk, because he had a thing this week. I don't know if you saw that. But now, normal folks, you and me, if we can come up with the 55 million bucks, we can go to the space station for 8 freaking days. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Saying normal folks followed by $55 million means not normal folks.
Like, you know, like, right.
Like, if you're rich, you can do lots of things. You're not normal.
Yeah, okay. Regular humans with lots of money.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk, mainly because he's really smart and he hasn't done anything stupid yet. Like, he hasn't done that stupid rich guy thing yet. I know that's going to happen at some point.
Yeah, I think you've just missed a lot of it.
Yeah, I probably have.
He got sued for calling a guy a pedo.
Well, again, when you're that guy,
because
you just said it, you can get away with a lot of stuff.
That you shouldn't be able to. Because the dude was trying to build a... Sorry, that's going off on a whole different thing. But he called a dude a pedo because the dude was trying to help rescue children that were stuck in a cave. And, like, Elon Musk wanted more... whatever. That's a whole different conversation. Okay, Elon Musk is a rich like dude that does stupid rich I'm dude saying. Stuff. Like,
yeah,
he's a stupid rich dude. Like,
yeah,
I love the way he's given to technology, but he does stupid rich dude stuff because apparently when you get money, that's what you do, right? Like, what rich dude doesn't do stupid rich dude stuff?
I hope we have that option at some point. I'm just saying. So
anyway,
there's a little girl, so
yes,
we gotta go.
There is. We need to wrap because there's a little girl that's ready for her daddy, apparently. So. I should go take care of that. Go by the show notes, GameUncensored.com. There's a lot of stuff we didn't get to, so see it there.
We're still on Facebook. We're still on Twitter, at least for the next, I don't know, week or something.
Sure. Until I see
say
what happens.
Something stupid. so we're, go by there. Check that out. Go by the website because there is stuff on the website. We do update that. Show notes are there.
Yep.
We got links to the Patreon. We got links to everything else is on the website. So definitely go by there and check that out. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy, and it's another week of Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.